I made it very clear to them, as I said, that this was a decision based on a range of material. It's not within the power of the players to appoint a coach, nor is it, of course, then within the power of the players to reinstate a coach. But that was not put to me.
No uncertain terms, I reckon. The CEO of the FFA yesterday, he was called into a second meeting. There was only supposed to be the one scheduled with the playing group about the state of, you know, football's culture amongst this team. He was called back in, and I reckon at that second meeting, David Gallop said, "Right, this is the way it is, girls. It's the way it is. We make the decisions on the coach." He stated that there was no call in that meeting to have Alan Stadcic reinstated, as in response to a couple of media stories that might have been rolling around the place. That wasn't the case, but it does continue to be one of the big stories in Australian sport. Lucy Zelich is as invested in it as anybody, given the correspondences she's been putting out on Twitter. She's always really generous with her time on this program, and she joins us again. Lucy, Happy New Year to you.
Oh, Andy, Happy New Year to you. I know that we're talking under less than desirable circumstances, but it's always a joy to catch up with you and the team. So thanks for having me on once again during what is a very trying time for women's football in the country at the moment.
I want to get your thoughts on that, but I want to talk about the poll. I want to start with a positive. And I don't know how much of my little sort of stuttering intro you heard at the start of the show, but this Socceroos team is clearly not the most gifted and talented team that we've sent away to a tournament. But there's something really gritty about the way they're going about it, Lucy. And that was what was the hallmark of that performance last night. How have you assessed their performance through the Asian Cup so far?
Look, it's been a difficult ride, hasn't it? And I think, you know, with this national team over the years, particularly since the 2006 golden generation, Andy, you know, the expectations and the bar has always been set quite high. But the reality is that as the years have gone on and as the tournaments have progressed and we've seen what we're capable of achieving at the moment at this level, we've had to readjust our expectations. And I say that respectfully. You know, we're dealing with a different generation. We're dealing with a different coaching era. We're dealing with you know, different opposition as well, because as we've seen from tournaments gone by, and namely Russia 2018, that other smaller teams are starting to invest in their football, and they're also starting to evolve as well. And we've seen that with Vietnam at this tournament at the Asian Cup too, which has just been remarkable to watch their rise throughout this. But ultimately, you know, it's a win for us. I think that's the positive that we take out of it. You know, the less than attractive, I guess, draw card out of it is that the performance wasn't great. You know, we're still struggling to score in open play. We can do it against lesser opposition. We managed to do it against Palestine, and we've done it in friendly games, but on the competitive stage, we've really struggled in that sense. And to do it in regulation time too has been an even bigger problem. And in the absence of leaders like Amelia Jedinak and Tim Cahill, our leading goal scorer of all time and one of the greatest servants for the green and gold in history, has left. So we've had to find replacements. And at this tournament, it hasn't been an easy ride for Graham Arnold too, because you have to consider the litany of injuries that he's had to deal with as well. So no Daniel Arzani, Aaron Moy out. Lecky's been in and out, and finally, you know, he was re-injected back into the game last night as a substitute after battling through that hamstring injury. So we could automatically see the influence there. But I've really liked, if we want to talk more about the positives, I've really liked the influence of Economides. I think he's been lighting up the stage on the domestic front, and now that's translated in many respects to his presence in this national team on the international front. You know, Lecky, again, I mentioned him, he's been one of the more outstanding players for me. I think he's been great. Last night was a better game for Tom Rogic, but then we're left without him too now. So that's forced Graham Arnold into a bit of a reshuffle, already talking about what we can expect formation-wise and the changes there. So it's been a bit of a tough one, it has. But ultimately, we are galvanised by the fact that we do have one of the best goalkeepers going around at the moment, Matty Ryan. Yeah. What a relief that was. Wasn't he epic?
He's just awesome.
Oh my gosh, those two saves, it really had me up in a house screeching with delight. It was so great to see, and of course he's evolved so much as a player and come in leaps and bounds from his time in the Premier League with Brighton. So that was the good news story, but like I said, the less than attractive story is that the performances, they need to be better. We need to improve, and Graham Arnold is doing everything that he can.
You know, there's the old saying, Lucy, you can't pull the socks up if you haven't got them on. And I say that absolutely respectfully of the team that we've got and the opposition we're up against. It's, you don't cruise through tournaments like the Asian Cup anymore at all. So I would have thought that with this squad to get to the quarters, I think that's met an expectation. That's my gut feel. I don't know what you were thinking, but if we get through to the final four now and, you know, get into the final to defend with the squad without Tom Rogic in the quarterfinal, as you mentioned, up against the host nation, I would have thought that, you know, all things being equal, you go, okay, this is a satisfactory performance from this team. It's not an embarrassment. It's not a fail. We'd like to go further, but if this is where it ends, given, you know, the manpower that we've got at our disposal, I would have thought that this is a reasonable performance by this team.
I think that's a really good summation of that, and purely because you've clearly adjusted and readjusted your expectations of what we're capable of. I mean, let's face facts. And again, we use the term respectfully because we want to make it absolutely clear that we're not having a go at this playing group. We're dealing with a different generation of players that aren't playing at top-flight football clubs and consistently and regularly. Okay, we've got that within Aaron Moy and Matty Ryan, but they're just two people. You know, you've got Tom Rogic, again, who's been exceptional for Celtic. You only have to look at social media and the reaction of so many Scottish fans when he was pulled from that squad for the Asian Cup and the Old Firm Derby to know how much he means to them. But a lot of these players aren't playing regular team football at elite football clubs around the world. And that's just the reality of it. So you're right in saying that, you know, if we manage to get through and to continue to progress in this tournament, that, you know, we should consider ourselves quite lucky because, you know, this isn't 2015. We're not on home soil. We don't have the advantages of the list of players that I've mentioned earlier on that, you know, have been so prolific for the Socceroos over the years. So we're having to look at a different era and face facts. You know, we're not expected to achieve great, great things at this moment in time. But we're working towards that, and that's what I like about Graeme Arnold, is that he's reinstilled that philosophy and he's come to this job with a lot of vigour and a lot of thirst for success. But, you know, that's a difficult job for him to have to do that. You only get a short amount of time with the players when they come to you in these camps. So the task ahead is a rocky one, but it's one that can be navigated because, as you said, this team is blessed with a lot of that grit, and that's what we love about the Australian sporting mentality in general, Andy.
I want to take some calls, but once we say goodbye to Lucy, we'll clear a break. I'd really like to take some calls and take the temperature of the sporting public, 1300 736 736. If you're invested in Australian football, are we reading it right here, or have we got it wrong? How are you assessing the performance of the Socceroos through this tournament? I'm really keen to take some calls up to the bottom of the hour news, so feel free to join in, 1300 736 736. Let's go back to where we started, Lucy, and, you know, your tweets, I must say, when I heard of the news on the weekend about Alan Stajic, there was a flood of stuff on social media, and I read your stuff, you know, amongst the earliest correspondence that was published in the social media domain, and clearly you feel like you have a bit of a line on this, that maybe this has been building for a while, and there's more to this, but maybe we might never necessarily know all of the facts and the truths behind all of this. Is that still the kind of position that you occupy?
I'm there and thereabouts. You know, this is a really tricky story to have to cover and to have to try to convey to people. And it's very complicated. There are a lot of people involved. And I'm sensitive to the players' feelings. I'm sensitive to Alan Stajic. I'm sensitive to Football Federation Australia. I feel for everybody involved in this. But, you know, I've been very publicly honest and one of Football Federation Australia's biggest detractors in years gone by because I think that they could have dealt with things better on numerous occasions. Do I believe that applies here? 100%. I think this has been a PR disaster for them and the way that they've dealt with it in their communication with the footballing and Australian public in general, because let's be clear, this Australian Matildas national team is our team. So we do feel a sense of ownership and as though we are entitled to know exactly what went on. But one other thing I'll pose to that is whenever in a sport sporting domain, even in a corporate domain, are we ever fully privy to the nitty-gritty details of what went on behind closed doors? That just doesn't happen. Mm. So there's been a recent article that's come out by Tracy Holmes, a very well-respected journalist who used to work with us at SBS and was very close to our beloved colleague Les Murray too, but she's put out a great piece in which has actually said and stipulated some of the findings within that report. It has to be made clear that there was nothing of a sexual nature, there was no foul play in that regard that occurred, that went on. But part of why, you know, we've all had to sort of dance around the subject is because the answers that were given to both Professional Footballers Australia, the Players Union, and Our Watch were confidential. So it's like if you go into a workplace, if any of us were to be surveyed at work about how we felt about the general environment, you are going in under the protection and the guise of confidentiality, where you know that your answers aren't going to be made public or bandied about and used against you at some point. So it's designed to not just protect the players and the staff, because remember, this isn't just the players. The staff have also been surveyed about the general environment as well. But it's also designed to protect Alan Stajcic. You know, this call for, you know, oh, it's damaging his reputation and we need to know exactly what went on. Let's play devil's advocate for a minute and think, is it actually going to serve him? Will it be in his best interest if some of the alleged things that have already been leaked out to the media, like homophobic slurs, intimidation, bullying, mental stress, if those things come out, who is it going to really serve and benefit in this scenario? So we have to be cautious of that and think of that. But Tracy's article is great because it touches on the fact that many players felt, because a lot of the subsequent questions have been, oh, why now? And why, if we've seen players come out and support him, then surely this has to be something that FFA are answerable to, that's gone on between themselves and Alan Stajcic at that governance level. Well, the players have actually said that they were too frightened to come out and say anything. And I respect and understand that, because after all, out of everybody, I feel for them the most. They were called in yesterday. They did have discussions, and by all accounts, I've heard from very credible sources that it is a divided group, and that this, of course, has been very stressful for them. It's been awful.
Of course, it would have been. Absolutely.
But the conversations were positive, and it was a really good day for them in the end, and that they're starting to understand that they need to recalibrate and refocus their dedications and attentions on the impending World Cup. This isn't desirable by any stretch of the imagination. Like I said, I feel for all parties involved, but I've always by the facts in this, and that's that the PFA and Our Watch were involved, the entire organisation was interviewed, and let's just remember this, just because it didn't happen to you, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. So you need to stand in solidarity with your colleagues and understand that, okay, I may not have had that experience, but if somebody else did, we need to hear that. We need to understand that and respect them and their feelings and how they've reacted to this. The governing body, they're another story, Andy. Like I said, it's been a PR disaster for them, but I've already mentioned yesterday publicly that I think that The CEO, David Gallop, and the head of National Team Performances, Luke Casserly, really have to answer to this. They really do. Similar to what's happening within Cricket Australia, I think it's
because
been quite
of why, Lucy? Why do you say that? What's the reason you think that they do have something further to answer to?
Well, if this is going on in your organisation,
Building for a while. That's clearly was part of one of your tweets that you put out, that people in the know are not going to be surprised about this decision.
They're not shocked. I think they're shocked by the timing of it all and how it's happened, because that, of course, is, you know, like we said, less than 5 months out from the World Cup. This sucks. Let's just say that, can we? In terms of the general context of what's gone on behind the scenes and the things that we have seen leaked, that's not a surprise to many who have their ears to the ground, that have been in and around the national team and around the girls, and just involved in women's football in general. One of the more interesting things for me is seeing the reactions of so many people within the football community, I'll say, well-respected pundits and journalists in this country that I won't have to name, but they've come out and shot from the hip and started to call this, basically execute a witch hunt and say the players are accountable, this is about player power, people with agendas are trying to drive Alan Stajcic out. Let's be honest, and I'll go back to what I said earlier. There are several different versions of the truth here. None of them are lies, because they're that particular individual's version of the truth. But be very careful. Be very careful, because you don't actually know what's going on. And you're relying on information that's being drip-fed to you from certain sources and trusting that what they're saying is credible. I'll tell you this, as a journalist, you are bred to trust no one. Okay, so you rely on credible sources. You do what you can to try and extract the truth. But like I said, that's a very fluid term these days. So you're having to try to do your best to make sense of what is an absolute mess. So good luck with that. But yeah, it's been a very harrowing time. But ultimately, like I said, Luke Hassely needs to answer to this, because if we as journalists and several other people within the community heard rumblings of it and just rumours, nothing ever tangible in the form of a report or a survey like we have now, then how is it that Luke Casserly, that's spending time with the playing group, that's travelling on away camps and at tournaments, and likewise with David Gallop, the CEO, who's doing much of that too and has a close relationship with Luke Casserly and is expecting to get the truth from him on all of these matters, how are they not aware of it?
How are they not aware of what's going on? A successful team and successful performances are going to wallpaper over a couple of cracks from time to time, I reckon. I've got to let you go and I've got to get to a break, but just 20 seconds. Are you coping all right with Liverpool's fragile hold of the title lead in the EPL race? Are you going okay with this or not?
I like the way that you put that, because it is fragile. I don't care what anybody says. I go into every single freaking game nervous and an absolute wreck, okay? There's only 4 points that separate Liverpool from Manchester City. And that game against Crystal Palace, if that didn't send me into early labour, I don't know what will, okay? So I'm just trying to keep it together, Andy. I hope you are too, mate.
Well, I'm not about to go into labour, but other than that, I'm feeling exactly the same things that you are. Hey, Lucy, always great to have you on the show. It's a huge story, the coaching one with the Matildas. It really is. They are our team. They've been standard bearers of the sport in Australia for a couple of years now. We've rejoiced in their successes, and I think a lot of people are affected by this story. We'll continue to see how it plays out. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate your time.
No, Andy, any time for you. I've always said I'm one of your greatest fans, so thank you for having me on and giving me the chance to air everything out.